roster. We'll get to those in a few minutes. But first, let's check in with Kevin Allen from USA Today. We'd like to check in with him from time to time, go around the NHL. Kevin, thanks a lot for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
Well, Kevin, as you look at this matchup tonight, the Predators have four games left on the schedule before the All-Star break, two against Columbus, two against Chicago. It's in a series of games, 7 in 11 nights. And right now they're trying to press on without Ryan Suter, who's unavailable tonight. And really, Kevin, a lot of the talk, I know league-wide and, of course, here locally, centers around the contract talks between the Predators and Ryan Suter. What are you hearing in your circles?
Well, I mean, the impression around the league is that, you know, that David Poile's in an unwinnable situation because, you know, it's likely to come down to him not being able to have him signed by the trade deadline, and then he's going to be faced with a very difficult decision. And, you know, I think if most GMs were asked to vote whether you trade a star in that position or not, I think most would vote to trade because you don't want to lose him without, you know, getting something in return for that. So, you know, as everyone is speculating, it's not about the money. I think the Predators have made it clear they're willing to pay and length of contract. I think it comes down to, you know, Ryan Suter deciding whether or not, you know, this is the team for him in terms of their ability to win and, you know, whether or not he wants to test his free agency. You know, you get so many kicks at the can when you're a player, and it's, you know, if you're going to give that up, you got to be assured that this is a place where, you know, you can win, that they're going to have the right players around you. So it's a lot more complicated than I think the average fan wants it to be, which is, hey, you know, do you like the team? Then stay with us.
Kevin, we talked to David Poile on Saturday during our pregame show, and he said while he hasn't made any calls to anybody else to offer up Ryan Suter in any way, shape, or form, he's getting the calls. Without naming a lot of names, Kevin, because I think it's very difficult to do that, but what do you think would be the return? Is it a package of draft picks? How many proven players do you think the Predators might be able to get if they got to the point where they were willing to part with him?
Well, it really will come down to two different scenarios. I mean, will they allow some team to talk to Ryan Suter about a contract? Because if they do, then you can get more. I mean, if a team was assured that Ryan Suter was going to be with them for a while as a rental, you know, we've seen some big-time rentals, but in recent years, they've moved away from, you know, giving up the, you know, the huge packages that they did, to say, 3 or 4 years ago. But saying all that, I mean, you know, you're for sure going to get a premium prospect and probably a first-round pick, but it's going to be hard to get much help back in return because anybody who wants Ryan Suter probably wants him for a run at the Cup, and they're going to want all their best assets in the lineup to try to win that Cup. So, you know, when you're trading, when you're in that position, you're most often looking at future help and not current help, and that's very difficult for Nashville, a team really that, in my mind, could still contend if for the Cup if they get the right breaks.
Kevin, when you look at, you know, we know what we hear in Nashville, and we know that, you know, we keep hearing the same things from David Poile, the same things from Ryan Suter, but, I mean, around the league, in other markets, is the sense really that Suter is on the fence? Is it that he doesn't want to come back? Is that they feel he will? I mean, is there a different read than what we hear all the time in Nashville, and that is simply negotiations are ongoing and they've been positive so far?
Well, I think the impression that you have around the league when you talk to folks that are in the hockey world is that, you know, most general managers would tell you that they have an idea all the way along, you know, how easy it's going to be to get a guy done. And the fact that it isn't done yet, you know, I mean, let's face it, Neil Sheehy is an agent, is Ryan Suter's agent, and he played for David Poile. These are two guys who know each other really, really well. Ryan Suter knows what the team is about. It seems pretty certain that the Predators are offering him the right amount of money just based on what's being said. I mean, I don't think that there's a team out there in a salary cap world that's you know, going to break the bank to like $10 million contract or anything. So, I mean, really, it probably comes down to how Ryan Suter feels about what this team is going to be able to do in terms of winning championships. That's logic tells you that's what it's coming down to. And I, you know, if I had to guess, and this is my read on it, I think he loves it in Nashville. But he, you know, he needs to be convinced that this team is going to be able to win. I think when you're a player and you look and see, hey, they spend less money than other teams, and in a salary cap, it really makes a big difference. You start to wonder, you know, am I going to play for the team, and am I going to be able to win?
Let's rattle the cage hypothetically, simply because I think it's fun to do. If let's just assume a worst case scenario. Let's say Suter leaves. And Weber might be gone at one point or another. You still have Pecorine. So if you're Nashville, let's say you lose 2 out of 3 in the next 2 years. How difficult do you see it being? And I know the CBA is a question mark here, but how difficult do you see it being that having all that free money, having the draft picks that Nashville would have coming up, how tough would it be to retool this team into a quality hockey club within the course of an offseason or maybe two?
I think it's going to be difficult, and I say that because, you know, one thing that's happened in the salary cap era that was not anticipated is going in, and I've got a lot of stories that I wrote where I've got quoted GMs and saying, hey, there's going to be plenty of talent available every summer because, you know, we're just going to allow our players to go back in the market and we'll get other players. That's just the way it's going to happen. But it hasn't happened that way. Almost everybody's been able to keep their players, and they've signed them to long-term contracts. So what happens is now every summer there's 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 premium players. So it's difficult to get premium players. And then again, you know, you're still recruiting against other teams, so you've got to convince them that I think, you know, style of life, everyone wants to come to Nashville. I think they like the idea of playing for Barry Trotz. It's a great town to be involved in. The question will be, you know, can you win? So I think you're going to be able to get players to come, and but being able to replace premium players, that's just a more difficult proposition.
Kevin, speaking of premium players, David Poile has made no secret. He would like to add a piece or two. They see themselves as buyers. It's amazing to me how many people maybe from the outside look at it and say if the Predators drop out of the playoff race, they might be looking to be sellers. I just can't see that at all. I think they're strong in the other category, but David Poile's plight, just like a lot of general managers, there don't seem to be a lot of sellers right now, and that's making his job tough, especially in light of what you're talking about, where Ryan Suter wants to see the commitment.
Well, absolutely, and I think, you know, the difficulty is, you know, David Poile, I'm assuming, wants a premium scorer, a guy to play in the top six, and, you know, Buffalo's looking for that, Toronto's looking for that. There are a lot of teams around the league that are looking for premium scoring, and there just isn't much available. I mean, Bob Murray in Anaheim has said, I'll trade anyone. Well, anyone would include Ryan Getzlaff. Everyone has speculated. But there's a lot of teams interested in Ryan Getzlaff, and, you know, the price would be very, very high because, you know, Anaheim is not looking at any rebuilding. They want to come right back at it and be in the mix, you know, for next season. So right now, trying to be a buyer is, I think, is frustrating because, just as you pointed out, there's not a lot of premium players available.
I want to go back to one thing you said, Kevin, at the beginning. If you were to start shopping Ryan Suter, how does that work behind the scenes? Do you have to give somebody permission behind the scenes to say, okay, if we were to trade him, here's what he would be looking for? Can you negotiate? Can you give other teams the right to negotiate a deal?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you just two ways of doing it. You can say, hey, you can't talk to Ryan Suter, or, you can give another team permission to talk to your player. Absolutely, and that would be certainly one of the, one of the issues. Would they want to make a deal contingent upon that? So, I don't know how that would work out because, you know, I haven't talked to anyone about it, but. Certainly, those are always rentals. Rentals you can't get as much, obviously, if they're able to trade them and they can make a long-term commitment.
Tommy?
Kevin, I've got – yeah, I do actually, Willie. I've got just a generic kind of question here. We talk a lot specifically about the Predators, about the trade deadline and movement, but you get the sense looking around the league that this is going to be a particularly active deadline. I know some years it comes and goes quietly. Some years there's a lot of activity. What's your sense for this season?
Well, I'm actually writing a story about that in tomorrow's USA Today, and I'm quoting Brian Burke as saying that he expects a lot of activity, and that's the sense I have as well. I think there's so many teams in contention now that everybody wants to strengthen a certain area. And there seems to be plenty of money available for the teams that want to make moves. So I would anticipate that, you know, we say there's not a lot of talent available, but Carolina's near the bottom. They got three defensemen who are going to be unrestricted free agents. The Anaheim Ducks are out of it. Boschman is going to be an unrestricted free agent. Columbus has a couple or three players as well. I mean, and they're all players that could help. So there'll be, you know, in my estimation, this will be a very active trade deadline. I think there's enough teams that are near the bottom that can move. You know, Hemsky's available in Edmonton. There are players out there that can help some teams. So I would assume that it'll be pretty active.
Kevin, the perfect scenario, as we let you go here, is for a buyer to be able to take from a seller, trade them something that can help them in the future for some immediate help. Do you think that some of this will turn into, it'll have to turn into sort of the rebirth of a real trade where we give up something to get something? We might have a surplus here, but it's not a buyer-seller thing. It's two buyers trying to get better.
Well, it sometimes that can happen when there's specific needs. If a team needs a defenseman, you need a forward, and it works out. I've often said that Jimmy Rutherford in Carolina should be brought in the summer, and all the GMs should be in, and he should teach the art of making a trade, because, you know, he's old school. And if you look at Jimmy Rutherford, he makes more trades than anybody in the league, and they're old style 1960 two for two type trades. You know, he's just made a lot of them through the years, and so there's still a way that can be done. It's a lot more difficult in the salary cap, because you got to have, most of the time you've got to trade even money. And that's not easy to do. But certainly you're right. There could be some fits there. There's been a lot of talk about Buffalo's at the cap, that Anaheim, you know, their needs and Anaheim's needs sort of fit, that perhaps they can make a deal there. So, you know, we could see some more of the 1950s and 60s style of deals.
Kevin, thanks a lot for your insight as always. It's going to be very, very intriguing the next few weeks here in Nashville as the Predators maneuver towards the trading deadline. Of course, with Ryan Suter's situation in the backdrop. Thanks for your time.
See you later. Bye-bye.
All right. Kevin Allen, always check him out at usatoday.com. Always has some great stuff on his columns and his blog. When we come back, more insight from our buddy Rob Vollman from Hockey Prospectus. Wrote an article for ESPN.com talking about how the Predators, he thinks, by his metrics, will regress some in the second half. We like to call him the buzzkill around here. We'll get the latest on his buzzkill and his thoughts on Brandon Yip, who the Predators claimed off of waivers today from the Colorado Avalanche. Stay tuned. We're coming back here on our pregame coverage. It's the Predators and the Blue Jackets tonight. It's brought to you by Gary Force Acura and Absolute Vodka, cocktails perfected. This is 102.5 The Game.